Blog Talk Radio.
Give me 24 hours.
In Sudan.
Get out of town by Sunday.
In Jamaica.
Give me 24 hours.
In Haiti.
Get out of town by Sunday.
In Kenya.
Give me 24 hours.
In the Congo.
Get out of town by Sunday.
North Carolina.
Give me 24 hours.
In Georgia.
Get out of town by Sunday.
Mississippi.
Give me 24 hours.
In Louisiana.
Get out of town by Sunday.
In Alabama.
Get out of town by Sunday. I say if they don't get out of town, we kill the men, we kill the women, we kill the children, we kill the babies, we kill the blind, we kill the cripple, we kill the crazy, we kill the faggots, we kill the lesbians. I said, God damn it, we kill them all.
People,
This is your brother, your soldier in arms, comrade in battle, Sean Kwali. Happy to be able to broadcast live once again to you from right here in the hells and the smells of North America. This is definitely a privilege. It's definitely an honor. It's definitely a joy to be able to talk to you from this bold radio broadcast, Black Power Radio. We are back on the air. We're back on the air, and I have to say, black in the States. Black in the States. Black power to the new Black Panther Party delegation. Black power to Pastor Ted Sutton. Black power to Sister Camila Shabazz. Black power to the attorney at war, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz. Black power to our National Field Marshal, Minister King Samir Shabazz. Black power to Captain Haru Kahuti. Black power to Captain Sharif Amenhotep. Black power to Captain Bilal Muhammad. Black power to Brother Sean Saddam Kwali, your national spokesman. All of us, black power, Khalil Muhammad. Black power to the PAC, Pan-Africanist Congress of Azania. Black power to the ZANU-PF party under the Honorable Robert Mugabe in Zimbabwe. Black power to Blackwash, Sister Zandi, Sister Wizee. So all of you all, black power, black power, black power, Wizzyway, black power. Hey, we're back on the air, and we're here now. And we have a lot to get over to you. Let me first open up giving thanks to the black God, the God of our forefathers and foremothers. It answers to many different names, but we recognize that supreme divine being as one universal force and one uniting power. We give thanks to that God and giving thanks to the goddess for creating us, the original black man and black woman, spreading us all over the world. And putting our base right there in our homeland where we just came from, that we learned was not South Africa. We learned it was not South Africa. We learned it was absolutely Azania. They taught us and taught us very succinctly that the white man came and colonized that land, and like he did us in our names and our language and our culture, that he renamed the land South Africa. But the name there, they call it, the indigenous people say, Azania. And so we were there in Azania, and we were there with our brothers and sisters from the Pan-African Congress, the students of the Honorable Robert M. Sobukwe. And we were there on the behest and at the organizing efforts of a brave commander and warrior and chief in the liberation struggle, a man whom we have known to come to love, whether the enemy hates him or not, whether his opposition hates him or not, makes no difference. Whether anybody hates him or not, he is a man that we love and that we respect and that we stand by in revolutionary solidarity, comrade and commander Chris Sankara. We stand with him. He's a man who organized and helped to organize our trip along with the PAC. And giving thanks to everybody who we met along the way tonight, brothers and sisters. We open up giving thanks for a beautiful, bold, bald-headed black man, a man that has helped us to be here and stand on this platform, and really a man who made all of this possible, a man who gave us the vision and gave Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz the vision and the foresight to connect and make this thing happen and put this delegation forth. It was from his vision and from his work and from his will, even organizing his energy, moving within us and moving within the PAC and moving all throughout Azania, South Africa. It was his vision and his will and his power organizing even from the Egun or the realm of the ancestors. We're talking about the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad, our black power general, who gave us the vision and who organized this new Black Panther Party years ago, decades ago, a decade ago, and organized it to be prepared and to be in the right spot that when the time came, we would unite with our brothers and sisters in the mother continent, and that we would organize and unite with other indigenous and original revolutionaries who would unite with us to help us to overthrow the conditions of our community, and we would help to overthrow theirs. We would help to break imperialism. We would help to break colonialism. We would help to break neocolonialism. We would help to break Zionism. We would help to shatter and crush apartheid and artificial borders. I'm here to tell you, new Black Panther Party, go back to your 10-point program. Get back in your 10-point program. The Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad did not teach us wrong, and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz is not teaching us and leading us wrong. And so we thank God for the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, who has prepared the vision and prepared the way that we can walk today and move in the manner that we're moving in. And we give thanks for a Black man who is making all this possible in a lifetime, who also shares that vision, and who also shares that will, and who also shares that capability. As I saw the Black man under pressure, I saw him going into the recesses of his mind, the God gene and God brain in him, using that force within him from his mother's womb and his father's essence, going all the way back to his ancestors and picking the right words and making the right moves and doing what was necessary to make history. Some of you think that this brother's a lightweight brother. You think he's a lightweight general. That's because you don't know him. But I'm here to tell you, there's a brand new Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz on the scene. In fact, there's a brand new Black Panther Party. For all of you who wanted to see the destruction of the new Black Panther Party, I'm here to tell you, there is a destruction of the new Black Panther Party. But I'm happy to tell you there's a brand new Black Panther Party that is here now, well organized, well equipped, more mature, more ready, and more able to carry out the mission of the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, our 10-point program and platform, Pan-Africanism and Black Nationalism, here at home and abroad. We're going to recap tonight, family. We have to recap because some of you could not get on the plane with us. It's like they say in the scriptures, some of you wanted to go forth, but you couldn't go forth. Some of you were not able to drink from the wells, and you were not able to walk through the ghettos of Azan. You were not able to shake hands. You were not able to give greetings. You were not able to dine and sit down with us and break bread with us. You were not able to ride in the buses with us and get in the planes with us. You were not able to do that. But tonight on Black Power Radio, we want to make it available to you tonight so that you can understand absolutely everything that is going on, not just here in America, but all throughout the world. Revolution is brewing all throughout the world. I'm here to tell you that the revolutionary spirit that is in Azania is brewing all around the world. And the people are fed up. And the people are tired. And the people are dissatisfied to be free all throughout 196,940,000 square miles. If you could just see the look on their faces and the looks in their eyes and the eyes of the youth and the eyes of the masses, all of them are ready to boil over. All of them are tired of white domination and oppression, and they're tired of Negro puppets, Negroes in a dressed-up way perpetrating a fraud like they are really down for our people, when all the time they're cutting backdoor deals and selling our people out. Revolution is boiling all throughout the world, and it's boiling particularly there in Africa, in Azania. It's boiling, as you will hear tonight from Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, the national chairman of our party, and he's going to talk to you about the many meetings that he had. He's going to talk to you about the many arrangements that have been made. He's going to talk to you about the many opportunities that are there in Azania, South Africa, that can benefit you right here in the hells and smells of North America. He's going to talk to you about the moves that he made in relation to the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. And I'm also happy to report that there is a New Black Panther Party in Azania, South Africa. There is a New Black Panther Party right there with the Honorable Robert Mugabe. The Honorable Robert Mugabe in Zimbabwe. You now have a New Black Panther Party. You now have a New Black Panther Party coming up in Joburg or Johannesburg. You now have a New Black Panther Party streaming all across South Africa, working its way up like the bloodstream up into North Africa. I'm telling you, soon this New Black Panther Party, even if you're slow to pick it up here in America, it is catching fire all throughout Africa, all throughout the Caribbean, all throughout Jamaica. It's catching fire all throughout Brazil, and it's catching fire also here in America. So we have a lengthy report to tell you tonight, and it's not a sad report. It is a happy report, as Azania, South Africa, welcomed us home like heroes, while you crackers talk crazy to the black man and black woman here in the hells and smells of North America. All we heard was, welcome home, black man. Welcome home, black woman. Welcome home, lost brother. Welcome home, lost sister. We have been waiting for you for over 400 years. You are the answer to our prayers. We have been waiting for you. Why did it take you so long to get back to your family here, when you know they don't love you? The beast does not love you here in the hells of North America. Welcome home, Brother Sean. Welcome home, Brother Chairman. Welcome home, Minister Samir. Welcome home, Pastor Ted. Welcome home, Sister Camila. Welcome home, Brother Sharif. All we heard was, welcome home. And they welcomed us in such a fashion that really it makes the way the celebrities come to events pale in comparison. You don't have this kind of welcome, J-Lo. You don't have this kind of welcome, Beyonce. You don't have this kind of welcome, Rihanna. We love you, but you ain't got this before. This is a revolutionary welcome. It is a family reunion that now the missing pieces have come together. And so the missing piece, the missing participle of the New Black Panther Party is now complete. That patch, that Africa patch, that red, that black, and that green that is on your arm, it is now a whole piece. It now has mega meaning, even more meaning than when it was first designed. It's not just a patch anymore. Now it is a compass. Now it is a locator. Now it should tell you what your mission is, that we have to free the African here and abroad. The black man and the black woman must go free. The black man and black woman must go free here and abroad. We learned in Azania. We learned that the white man there in Azania, what they call South Africa, is a small 13 to 12% of the population. And we learned that they are controlled, that they are in control of 80% of the land there in Azania. I'm going to say that again, 13 to 12% of that population over there is white people. But they are in control of 80% of the land over there. And so we would hear the cry, Iswaletu. They would say it over and over, Iswaletu. And the response was, Iafrika, Iswaletu. Iafrika. And that means, Iswaletu means the land is ours. Africa, the land of Africa is ours, because there was an interpretation made during some war times, as we learned about the Apple soldiers, the Azanian People's Liberation Army, who you'll hear more about that. We learned that they were doing what the Honorable Dr. Khalid Muhammad was talking about in the beginning of this broadcast. They were driving the white man out. When the white man came in, when the criminal settler came in to invade the land, warriors rose up from the ranks of our people and began to push the crackers out. And guerrilla fighting was happening in Tanzania and other areas. The white man, as they always do, they lied. They lied to the leadership, who were not in communication with the guerrilla warriors. It's a lesson in this. They were not in communication, and they lied and said that the fighting had stopped and that they wanted to come to the table and talk at the table. And so they made an interpretation, and they said they would stop fighting and they would let them come into government and come into parts of parliament. And when they did that, the white man took the land and swallowed up the Apple forces into the South African Defense Force or Army. Much lesser than that. And so the PAC had learned that you cannot negotiate like that with the cracker. You cannot negotiate with the beast like that. That, as the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad said, that's why he saved for South Africa. You have to, if you're going to be merciful, you got to give them 24 hours and let them get out of town by sundown. Drive them out. Drive them out, because they are an occupying force. Same thing happened to you, black man and black woman. Your land was taken from you. You have been robbed of your name, your language, your culture, your folkway, four-way, knowing the power of your own being, and robbed of the very power of your own mind. And so you have nothing to negotiate with. You don't have a land here to negotiate with, because every time you try to get land in North America, some trick, some red line, some redivision, some unauthorized money transaction takes the land from you. During the time of Reconstruction, the white man didn't even recognize the land that you had acquired and that your people had acquired, and they came in with military force and military might and took the land from you and your forefathers and your foremothers. And as Minister Malcolm X, this fight, as the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught, as the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad taught, as Minister Louis Farrakhan has taught, as Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz teaches, the basis of this fight is a land of our own. As the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey taught, a land of our own, freedom and independence, black laws for all black people. So we are excited. We are more than excited, as we have traveled over thousand miles. We have traveled up in the skies like the Black Marines or the Black Air Force for the black nation, and touched down in South Africa, Zania, touched down with our people. We are overjoyed to be here with you to give you the good report, as Jesus said, to give you the gospel, the good news, to give you the good report that the Black Power Movement is more than alive. It is vibrant. And that the Black Power Movement that you thought was dead, that you thought the white man had conquered, that you thought they had crushed with COINTELPRO, and that they had crushed, you thought, with the Patriot Act, that you thought they had crushed with propaganda using the Bill O'Reillys and using the Sean Hannitys and using all of those Megyn Kelly's types who were on TV. You thought they had crushed us, but we're happy to report to you on Black Power Radio tonight, we are alive, and the Black Power Movement is more vibrant than ever. The new Black Panther Party is in a position it has never been in before. We are the premier organization for Pan-Africanism, revolutionary black nationalism here in the hills of North America. We're not bragging. We're not boasting. We're telling you we're out here as your brothers and your sisters, and we're putting it on the line for freedom and independence, to get free by any means necessary. Let go. Stop trying to find a way to include the crack in everything. Let's free your people. Let us begin to build our own businesses. We're going to talk to you about the orphanage that we went to and the children that sung to us and the African dance that we witnessed and the way that the new Black Panther Party handled them and was received by the orphan, that we were received in Cryptown, in the ghettos, the way we were received in Soweto, the same thing that we did there in Azania, South Africa. We will repeat and do more here in the hells and smells of North America. Africa is waiting for the Black man and Black woman to wake up here. They're waiting for you to wake up. They say they want us to tell you that you are in the heart of the beast. You are in the heart of imperialism here in America. You're talking about a capitalist society. You're in the heart of capitalism here. Talking about Zionism, you're in the heart of Zionism here. You're talking about artificial borders, you're in the heart of artificial borders here. Africa's waiting for you to wake up. The Black man and Black woman all in every continent is waiting for you to wake up. We're waking up slowly but surely. Black on black crime can be stopped. The drugs in our community can be stopped. Police brutality in our community can be stopped. The disrespect of our women and our elders can be stopped. The non-education of our babies, the miseducation of our babies and our people, it can be right. Get behind the leadership of our chairman, our beautiful, bold chairman who is working day and night to organize a movement to take our people out of this hell. Get behind Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. Pay no attention to the media and the internet. You know those are the tools of the white man against your people and against your brother. Get behind his leadership. Get behind the leadership of the new Black Panther Party. Get with this organization and also donate to this organization. Give what you can to support, as he'll give out the PayPal information tonight so that you can help us and back us as we prepare to put out this new Black Panther newspaper, as we prepare to get the information into your homes, get these products into your homes, these shirts and hats into your homes, food into your homes. Get this information to you on a daily and consistent basis. Support this movement. There is no other movement out here like this. The Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad shaped it like this, and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz is preparing it like this. Support your brothers and your sisters. And so we are right at the top, right at the half of the hour now. And this is where we will bring in our national chairman, who I know is and fired up and ready to go. And so buckle your safety belts, sit back tight, store your plates, and make sure everything is secured, because it may be a bumpy ride for some. But as we saw with those black stewardess on that black airlines with that black pilot, it's going to be a smooth ride to our homeland, to our national chairman. Brothers and sisters, help me to bring to Black Power Radio our beloved national chairman of the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. This is Brother Doctor and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. Black Power.
All right, Black Power, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, we can hear you well.
All right, just want to make sure I got this headset on. I want to make sure that I can sound as strong as you all always sound, so you can hear me clearly, is that right?
Can hear you fine, sir.
All right, giving honor to God, I bear witness that regardless to land, label, or language, that there is but one God. And I'm honored to be on Black Power Radio tonight. And so I give honor to God, I give honor to the ancestors, and I give honor to my mentor, Minister and Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad. And I greet you in the radio listening audience. Black Power, Izwelethu, Assalamu Alaikum, Hotep, Pamberi, Nachimaranga, and all of the great greetings from all across the planet. I greet you. But most of all, I say one God, one aim, and one destiny. And I'm happy to be back here in the hills of America, in the United States. I mean, the United States of America, after traveling way more than 9,000 miles, traveling many, many thousands upon thousands of miles, and flying 18 hours over there and 18 hours back to our motherland, our homeland. I'm thankful to God and thankful to all of those who supported us and who prayed for us and who kept tabs on us and who spread the knowledge of our mission. I sincerely, personally and on behalf of this organization, I thank you all from the bottom of my heart. And I want to say that I'm very thankful because we were very, very successful. And everything that we set out to do and then some, we were blessed to achieve. And yes, we went on a fact-finding mission and we found out a lot of facts. And we learned a lot and absorbed a lot. And so I thank the Pan-Africanist Congress of Azania. I thank Chris St. Carl. I thank all of our comrades. Andisiwa, Intasia, all of our comrades and counselors, Sister Pinky, and others who hosted us, made us feel welcome, made us feel warm. I thank all of the PAC, and I thank Blackwash. I thank God for the emerging New Black Panther Party inside of Azania. I could spend the whole broadcast just giving thanks because that's the kind of spirit and mood I'm in. I don't want to dominate the broadcast tonight. I want to make sure that the other delegation members get a chance to come on and to reflect on their experience in Africa. I want the phone lines to be opened up, and I know we'll be back on Wednesday and back on Monday. There's no way in the course of 2 hours we could tell this whole story, but we will try to get started tonight. But again, I want to say that it's good to have the protection of a mighty God, and it's good to have the backing of a mighty God, and it's good to have wisdom that has been passed on by the elders and the ancestors. And it's good to have life and breath in our bodies so that we can live this history and walk this history right in front of our very eyes. We have been blessed to go into Azania, to be invited to Azania by our natural cousins, our natural brothers and sisters. We have been blessed to understand what it means when they say, E Africa. And the response is given easily laid through, that the land belongs to us. And when they say no compromise, and we say back no surrender, when they say one settler, and the response is one bullet. And then to over and over again hear the songs, the singing of songs throughout the programs, like you have never heard in the United States of America. You've been taken to a strange land that is not your own by strange people. So teaches the Bible of the children, God's chosen people in Genesis 15:13, taken to a strange land by strange people. And it says, even in Psalms 137 chapter, in the fourth verse, that how can they sing a song? How can we sing songs in a strange land? You're dried out in America, and they have taken our spirit, our soul over here in America, taken from our original homeland and dropped in this modern Babylon, sacred vessels taken out of the motherland and brought over here to this modern Babylon. But they were full of life, full of song and dance and praise in Africa. And I'm telling you, we were transformed. We were baptized. We were taken to another level. and we have come back on another level. It feels like we're riding another plane, but it's not a spaceship, but it's another level of knowledge, of consciousness, of immersion, of transformation, of baptism, of Saint Kofa. We some bad brothers and sisters who went on this trip. I give honor to our national spokesman, Minister Sean Kwali. No better man could you travel with and organize with. Am I still on?
Yes, sir, you're here.
Gotta make sure I'm on. I give thanks to that bold captain, that courageous captain and dedicated black man, my brother, who I love very much. I'm talking about Captain King Samir Shabazz. To Captain Heru from Philadelphia, who stood strong. Captain Bilal from Newark, New Jersey, who did a par excellent job. To Captain and Brother Sharif from Newark, New Jersey, who was on point every day all the way. Sister Camila Shabazz from the Nation of Islam, who was a strong member of our delegation. And how can we not mention Pastor Ted Sutton? Pastor Ted Sutton, a.k.a. Crazy Ted.
Crazy.
Huh? And they went wild over there in Azania. It was just crazy love back and forth between us and them, them and us, our delegation, and our host in the Pan-African Congress of Azania in APLA, the Azanian People's Liberation Army, and in general for my brothers and sisters in general. We have come to tell you today that we have been certified and baptized, and we are real live Pan-Africanists in the hells of America, and not just Pan-Africanists in theory. We have come back with the goods. We have come back in our hands, a universal African United Front. We have come back with an alliance of revolutionary Pan-Africanist organizations that's deep up off in Azania, deep up off in South Africa, deep up off in Zimbabwe, and now spreading through Africa as everywhere across the 196,940,000 square miles, everywhere on the 57,255,000 square miles of land, coming up out of 139,685,000 square miles of water on a planet that's moving, revolving, and rotating every 23 hours, 56 minutes, and 46 seconds. At 1,037 1/3 miles an hour, all 144 countries. All 144 countries where Africans are located, they are now asking that they want to be a part of that new Black Panther Party. They want to be a part of their new Black Panther Party or that Black Power movement. And this worldwide Pan-African Liberation Front that is developing and has a head in Azania, which is the head of African Pan-Africans, the new focal point, the new Qibla, the new Mecca for Pan-Africanism in Africa, really throughout the world. It is in Azania. It is where the freedom fighters have struggled and labored, and now the children have united with the children of Khalid Muhammad, the children of Huey P. Newton, the children of Kwame Ture. That's us in the new Black Panther Party. And we cannot forget about Bob Brown and the All African People's Revolutionary Party, who were staunch allies and staunch with us in this movement. But the children of the Pan-African freedom fighters that fought the apartheid government, the children of Robert Mengelisa Sobukwe, the children of Uncle Zeph Motofane, the children of Stephen Biko, united in the East with the children of the liberators in the West. And, oh, we had a good time. Day after day after day. I could go on. I could teach this broadcast on and on about my experiences in Azania, but I would not want to take up all of this broadcast. from the opening night ceremonies as we were welcomed to the headquarters of the Pan-Africanist Congress of Azania and greeted like dignitaries. It was a vision came true. I knew I would go to Africa one day, but I knew it wouldn't be as a tourist. I knew I wouldn't be out on safari. I knew it would be a political mission that would have a direct impact on the liberation struggle of our people. I just didn't know how strong it would be and how strong that vision would come to reality. But God is a good God. And so day after day, sisters and brothers, from the coming in and coming to the Pan-Africanist Congress headquarters and to be welcomed by them and their officers and to meet all of their top sisters and brothers in the movement and to have them sing songs of praise and inspiration to us and with us, lifting our spirits. Then up early the next morning, moving to the Sharpeville cemeteries and the Sharpeville memorials, and then feeling the strength of our allies in the PAC, and see brothers and sisters from all over Azania, all of them, ANC, just brothers and sisters, all coming to commemorate the 69 martyred at Sharpeville, flowing in to the tombstones and the memorials and the caskets and the different displays that were set up. It was very spiritually moving. Very spiritually moving as the honoring of those martyrs brought about remembrances as well as renewal in struggle. It brought us together with our elders across religious lines, many of them Christian, some of us Muslim, some Pan-Africanists, some just brothers and sisters. We converged there around the sacred pools, the sacred memorials in Sharpeville, around those sacred lives that were taken, and we were able to touch the hand of brothers and sisters who were in Sharpeville, brothers of those who were in Sharpeville, sisters of them, some nephews, some uncles, some aunts, all of that. We were there, and then to see the mighty PAC come through, strong from all of their sectors and camps, black men and women strong coming through seeing, strong, sent chills up your spine, and to have the honor to address that strong group of organizers packed in there at the memorial. Some of you have seen the videos online. Other videos are coming. These were some of the greatest experiences of our life, of my life. These were some of the greatest words that I would have a chance to be spoken and to be embraced strongly by my African brothers and sisters and to reclaim my Africanness. It's just not enough words that could be spoken. Not enough words that I could be spoken to be honored to have had a chance to deliver a keynote address under that tent, under a stacked and packed tent with key liberators and revolutionaries from around the continent. And under that tent to be there with ZANU-PF, Brother Gift from the ZANU-PF party in Zimbabwe, and to be there with Bob Brown and others and Pastor Ted and all of us from the PAC elders, veterans in the apartheid struggle, Sister Queen freedom fighters. And for us there to participate in that program, I just want to find the tape, man. All I want to do is just get the tape so I can show y'all the tape, man, because these brothers and sisters are too much, man. They got a lot of life and a lot of joy, and a lot of knowledge was learned, a lot of knowledge was shared. Brothers and sisters, they loved us. They loved us, and they loved your chairman, and we loved him and their leadership. It was heaven. I miss it so much, just being there, man, every day, just waking up there in the warm sun. And so Sharpeville was awesome. That set it off all day, all evening, commemorating Sharpeville. And the rest of the parts of the tour we'll talk about, fact-finding in Soweto, the youth village, in Cliptown, Soweto, we adopted a youth village and had an awesome performance by awesome youth with awesome speeches and dance. And even though they're orphans and victimized by poverty and houses with tin houses and not even bathrooms, porta-johns all around them, and poverty all around them, yet their spirit had not been robbed. You can see God and the Goddess and all of our little youth in our at Cooktown Youth Academy and Youth Center that we have taken on now as one of our projects, our orphanages. So it could go on to help that orphanage. I'm sorry. Baba Bhutu and the Cultural Center and the learning from that we learned from him at his Cultural Center. I could detail it all, but I'm not going to take up all of this time. We can get to Zimbabwe maybe a little bit later in the broadcast. What I want to do is see how many of the guests have been on.
We got about three on right now.
How many of our delegation have been on to speak?
That's what I mean, sir. None have been on. They're waiting right now. We got three on right now. And
okay, then we got to hurry up then. What I want to do is back off for a minute. And I want to let the next 15 minutes or so, and you bring on and have comments from those in our delegation. And then when I come back on, I want to let the audience participate, and we go right to the phone lines. And
okay.
The phone line, and we want to keep the focus on Africa, what happened in Africa. I'm not going to get all into what we're going to do when we back to America and what's next and what next. We'll get to what's next. Right now, we're going to give respect to what we were just blessed to achieve and receive in Africa. And if we can share that spirit with y'all, and y'all can embrace
mm-hmm.
that, then you will be transformed like us. Don't get too anxious. We're going to sit here for a minute tonight and breathe and understand this. So let me pay respect and back off and hear from our delegation. And I'll come back on a little bit after 9, and we'll keep it going a little bit further. So I turn you back into the hands of my national spokesman and my brother. We all the way live back from Africa.
That's right.
Minister Sean Kwali, you go right ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Black Power, my family, we want to get right into this delegation. Any of my delegates that's online, any of the delegates that travel with us to Azania that I have not recognized, make sure you press 1, as I do know that some of you are in queue. And I want to start with a bold sister from the Nation of Islam. She's been in since 75, during the time of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and now under the leadership of Minister Louis Farrakhan, who traveled with us and who made her way all the way over to the motherland, and they loved her spirit, and we loved her spirit, and she is 100% family now. Let it be known and let it be shown. This is our sister and our family. Help me welcome to Black Power Radio our dear family, Sister Camila Shabazz. She's going to share with you her experience in Azania, South Africa, the motherland. Black Power, Assalamu alaikum, Sister Camila. How are you?
Well, alaikum salam, sir. I am doing just fine. Praise be to God.
Excellent. Praise be to God. Sister Camila, I know it's difficult to share everything that we experienced over that week and a half in Azania, South Africa, but would you do your best to kind of detail to the audience what it is that you saw, what happened, what did we experience, what has us so fired up that we feel this way? Go ahead, my sister.
I have been to Africa before, but this time it was the ultimate. It was the ultimate. We were accepted like family that, you know, that you hadn't seen in a long time, and we were embraced, and we, you know, the sister Pinky, she just took us in like she had known us for years, and just, I mean, she waited on us hand and foot. We didn't have to do anything but just get up and be there. It was just, you know, like a long, long family member that you hadn't seen in a long, 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 long time. And that was just really something else. The trip was just so intense for me as a sister, but what really got me was meeting those sisters who were freedom fighters, who actually fought in the war for their freedom. That really touched my heart and touched my soul. And then also meeting the young people from South Africa, the sisters that they were there, they wanted to talk, they wanted information. It was just like reconnecting with our people. And I tell everybody, you just need to go to the motherland. So I think the trip over, the welcome, meeting the actual freedom fighters, going to the memorials to honor those who have died for freedom, and it's all about us getting our land back all over the world. And there's a consciousness that I can feel that's moving. There's a black consciousness where with bold black men and women standing up. And thank God for that. Thank God for that.
Certainly. Can you talk a little bit about being waited on hand and foot? And I can attest to that. We really was, but can you kind of, just go into a little more detail on what you mean? I mean, just the culture and the service. What was that like for you?
Well, as for me, and I shared it with Pinky, because in America, when you go to somebody's house for dinner, you offer to help, in the kitchen and everything. They kept insisting that I don't help, that I have a seat, and I kept insisting, no, I'm going to help. So they would give me little things to do, not major things. And she would just lay out a feast for everybody. And I think, Brother Sean, I think you were a vegetarian, and a few times she made sure that you had what you had. And I told all the brothers, I said, oh, you're going to be spoiled when you get back to America. And I think there was a comment. There was a comment on the internet. Some of the sisters, because in America, I've heard a lot of sisters say, oh, we don't cook. And I look at them like, how can you say you don't cook? It is important that sisters feed their children, feed their husbands, feed their men. That is a medicine cabinet. And so one sister said, well, sister, what if I start with two items? Because Miss Pinky, she would cook 7, 8, 9, 10 items. And that was at every single meal.
Every meal. And so how were you received? Because I know there's some misconception. People think that the Africans will make the women walk behind them and be subjected to certain cultures. How were you received as a black woman in Azania?
Well, you know what? I'm going to be honest that Dr. Chairman Malik Shabazz selected me as a delegate. And, I had not ever in my life felt like that, traveling with a group of brothers that were so protective, so honored of me, that I tried to fall behind. And Brother Chris, he was, okay, sister, you need to get up here. I mean, everybody was just, look, I have never had that feeling in my life that brothers that was consciousness, that knew what time it was and where they were headed. I was treated like a royal queen. I really was. And I would say to all brothers all over the world, please start paying attention to the new Black Panther consciousness of the men, because, it was just a feeling that I cannot even express. And I've never felt that. I have joined the ranks of the elders, but I've never felt so honored, so protective in all my life on this earth. And I want to thank you to all the brothers that were there.
That's an honor. That's an honor to hear from you. Tell us about Sharpeville. You were there for Sharpeville Day, what they've mislabeled Human Rights Day. Tell us the sights and sounds of Sharpeville Day. What did you see during Sharpeville, and what was that experience like for you?
Well, it was so touching. I think most of you probably were not born in the 1960s. I was a young girl. I kind of remember it, but to actually be there and actually realize what they went through, they actually went to confront the police, and they were shot and killed for their freedom. Just being there, the spirit, just being there, meeting relatives. I think we went to three different places. We actually visited the grave site, then we actually visited the monument where the relatives was, and then there was another ceremony. But it was just knowing that they gave their life for others to be free. And some people, some of us will have to give our lives so that the rest of us can be free. But it was very touching. You just can feel the spirit of those young brothers and sisters and men and women that gave their life. It was just so touching, and just being there, knowing that they gave their lives for others that they might be free.
Yeah, you got to stand in the same spot where they fell, where they were slain, right? You stood in the same exact spot.
Right.
Where they had lost their lives. Do you think it's important for the black man and black woman of America to make that Hajj or that pilgrimage to Africa? Why or why not?
Well, like Brother Malcolm said, you left your mind in Africa, and once you go back there and just being there, there's a connection with the motherland. It's like going back to everybody originated in Africa, whether they were black, Chinese, whatever. Everybody originated in the motherland. But for us who was taken from that land forcefully and brought to America, it is very important to make that Hajj back to the motherland. And that was the warmest welcome, the people that we met and the things that we did. I never have experienced that before. It was like a godsend for us to travel back to the motherland. But I would say yes, every black man and woman, child, should make that Hajj back to the motherland, just to experience, because they're waiting for us to return, to reunite.
Beautiful, beautiful. Any closing comments you want to say to our people? We're gonna pick this up again on Wednesday, but just any initial thoughts that you have. This is your first time back on the air since coming from Azania. What are your thoughts? Anything you want to say to our people at this point?
Yes, I would like to say, especially to the black man, woman, child in America, it's not about the little picture, it's about the big picture. Knowing our history, not only in America, it just didn't start with slavery. We were kings and queens. They bought the best over here in America, and those of us who have survived, we are the best. But we need to look at the big picture of taking the whole world back and letting the black men all over the world control their own land, control their own resources. It's about seeing the big picture, not the petty picture. And it all begins with love of yourself. Love yourself, love your fellow man, your brothers and sisters, and do what you can to correct any ills that's in our family. It's not about the little picture, it's about the big picture.
Thank you so much, Sister Camila. I hope that you would join us this Wednesday. We're going to do another broadcast this Wednesday. We'll be detailing even more. But thank you for what you shared, and thank you for being the kind of woman and sister and example that you are. We had nothing but joy with you there in Azania, and I'm telling you, we got to do it again, some way, shape, form, or fashion. We got to do it again. So, thank you, Queen.
Thank you for permitting me to be a part of the delegation. That is an experience I will remember for the rest of my life.
Certainly, it was a must. Remember, they kind of got on us and were saying we should have brought more sisters. Remember, when we first got there.
They didn't think you had any sisters. And I said, hey, I'm with them. They didn't think you had any sisters at all.
That's right. And so that's word to the wise, brothers, that it is anti-African to keep your sisters out of the things that you're doing, out of the events or movements or whatever. If you don't have this black woman as a part of what you're doing, it is certainly anti-African. Sister Camila, thank you so much. I'm going to bring some more delegates on. Thank you for your time, and join us again, please, this Wednesday.
Okay, thank you, brother. Thank you.
Thank you. Black power, Islam alaikum. Let me go to another man who our chairman had mentioned, as a stand-up brother, we're going to get to all of our delegates that are online tonight. But let me go to our brother Captain Sharif, who really seemed to have the time of his life. I'm one of those had the time of my life, and he had the time of his life in so many ways with revolutionary theory activity. He was able to teach and organize and move and do all kind of stuff. Brother Captain Sharif, Black Power, welcome to Black Power Radio, sir.
Black Power.
He sounded off, Black Power. Yes, sir, my brother, we're talking about Azania, South Africa, and we want to do our best to share the sights and the sounds of Azania, South Africa, with our people and let them know what we experienced. What did you experience? Now, you were a new Black Panther, you were an organizer. How was this different from anything that you've done in your life, ever done in your life?
Wow, I mean, this was the greatest experience I ever had in my life. I'm still overwhelmed. I'm still, you know, just taking it all in, you know, and just, oh, man. Words can't really explain, you know, actually, you know, the feeling that I had in Azania. I was liberated. I felt freedom, like a taste of what freedom really, really feels like, what an experience. It's like, I mean, wow. I mean, I'm in Azania, we're in Africa. I didn't even know what day it was, what time it was, and it didn't even matter. I just felt free, brother. I mean, it's overwhelming, man. And the love that we received from the time, you know, we got off the plane, our brothers from the PAC, the Pan-Africanist Congress of Azania, greeted us with a welcome, and like we were heroes, man, for, you know, the child of Africa to return after 400 years of what that meant for us to be able to return back from our birthland, our homeland, was just, you know, it was just a great accomplishment, a great achievement. And I'm on fire, man. We're in the hells of America, Black on fire.
If you keep saying
go
there
on
was...
and on, man.
Yeah, I know. Listen, you keep saying there was this hero's welcome. What does that mean when we say there was a hero's welcome? What did you see? What made you feel like a hero?
I mean, to be, you know, for our brothers, you know, to be there for waiting for us. They said they was there for hours, you know, just waiting for us, our return, waiting for us to get off the plane, you know, and then when we got there, they were so energized and just so welcoming, you know, the sisters and the brothers just embracing us and just hugging us and just all the way, you know, just welcome home. You know what I mean? And they just were so happy and so honored, you know, to see us. You know what I mean? To welcome, like, you know, to feel like heroes, just to come back home, just know the child of America, knowing we don't get this kind of treatment and respect and love and appreciation for the work that we do in America. You know, we considered and counted as and looked upon as slaves by many of our brothers from the continent in America, not receiving the same love from them. Some of them, you know, tooting their noses up at us, you know, because thinking that, you know, because we are the descendants of slaves that, you know, we have no connection with Africa. But we wasn't looked upon like that when we got back home. Them brothers looked at us as, you know, as an accomplishment of us having the sense and the consciousness to know where we come from and having, you know, the courage and, the, you know, the audacity to come back home when, you know, despite all the propaganda of Africa and the promotion of the degrading of Africa and the savagery of Africa, that we had the sense enough, you know, to return and to come back home and to make that connection, you know, we was honored for that. You know what I mean? We was respected for that. Yes, sir.
Certainly. Certainly. What was the food like, brother? Now, Sister Camila talked about me, and then it's vegetarian. What was the food like for you?
I mean, we cannot thank our sister who adopted me as her son, Mama Pinky, you know, with her hospitality, I mean, and her catering to our needs, to our dietary needs. I mean, she was only told one time, got a whiff of which each and every last one of our diets were, and put a menu together to cater to our dietary needs is just like, it's just amazing. I mean, and you come to Africa, they're not used to a vegetarian diet. But, you know, Mama Pinky got wind that we were vegetarians, and she just had a whole menu lined up of vegetarian items that we can eat. I mean, they speak bad about Africa and the food and the water and all these lies. I'm here to tell you today, these crackers have lied to you, man. We were, you know, treated like kings. You know, the food was awesome and was great. I didn't have to spend $1 outside of the home, you know, that we was embraced in. I mean, the food was delicious, man. It was wonderful, man.
Can you talk to some of the lies? You said the cracker lied, but talk to some of the lies. I know we had a whole lot of misperceptions going over there in the first place, and being over here and being told different things. What were some of the misperceptions of your people that you found was untrue?
I mean, our people, you know, with the scares and the propaganda of the living conditions. Number one, of, you know, that our people are living in shacks. They don't have running water. That the water is contaminated. Don't drink the water. You're going to get sick. You know what I mean? You have to get all these vaccinations. A mosquito going to bite you and you're going to die. You know, all the propaganda to scare us, to keep us out of Africa and to keep us away from our homeland. You know, so the main lies is with the vaccinations, because they want to, you know, poison our bodies and inject all these foreign substances in us to kill us. We do know there's some poor parts of Africa and some parts you may need some vaccinations, but we know in Tanzania, and from, you know, being there and building with our brothers and sisters, that those are a lot of lies, that they don't even have, you know, the type of problems in terms of yellow fever, and these things are not even plaguing them, that they don't even have these issues there. But still, when we're traveling to these lands, to our motherland, the white man, the cracker, want to vaccinate us, tell us don't drink the water, don't bathe in the water. Now, and we're living testament today that I'm fine, I'm well, I haven't had any type of illness from since I'm back on my return. I feel, in fact, I feel more healthier and stronger than ever.
Go ahead. Yeah. Yeah, they lied to you.
I can lift up a damn car or something. You know, the car and coming back from Africa. Hell, I get back to America and feel weak and depressed and down and with the weight of the pollution and stuff in the air and hell. Mother Africa is pure and beautiful. Black men need to turn back to home.
Looking back on it. Now, looking back as a man who left Africa, went to Tanzania, now back in America, what are some of the major differences of America versus Africa, and how do you view America now?
Some of the major differences I see, you know, coming back to America, you know, the weight of you just feel oppression and you feel despair and hopelessness and the violence in our people. And we feel a different air back in America than I did in Africa. You know, it's a totally different experience, you know, coming back home and we face with the realities that we face with. Not to take away from none of the struggles that they do have to face in Africa, especially with the land. But back in America, we can see the hopelessness in our people's face. We can see, you know, the devastation with our people coming back to murders and the violence in our city, which are similar issues, but to me it just feels a lot more oppression for us in America than in Africa.
Yes, sir. So what is your message to your people now that you're a man that's baptized and your head is clear? What would you say to our people going forward?
I would say to the black man in America that we must look back to Africa. We must return back home before we return back to the ancestors. We have to make that journey, that experience to connect our spirits and connect our bodies back with Africa. We have to look outside of America. I see the fall of America. We see the destruction of America. And we have to return back to our homes in Africa with our people. I can see our families moving black there. I can see the Marcus Garvey black to Africa alive and well. We cannot feed into the media, into our open enemy, this white man's propaganda of Africa. to keep us out of there or any deterrent to get out of there, black man, resume your passport today. Do not hesitate. Do not let that be an excuse to why you can't go. As simple as going down to the post office with a little bit over $150, obtain that passport, get on that first South African airline that you see.
Go Zania,
we will call our brothers and sisters from the PAT, and they will
That's
pick
right.
you up from the airport and get
That's
you on
right.
your way, black man. There's no excuse today. We must make that return. You cannot say you're an African in America and you haven't been to Africa. You can't be talking about Africa all day and you're not looking to it and making it your best effort to get black there. It's just that.
That's
you
true.
Cannot say that you're a revolutionary and you're not hooking up with the revolutionaries in Africa. You can't say that, you know, you're conscious and you're not trying to reconnect your consciousness from where you came from. If you're not looking towards Sankofa, then you can't go forward. You have to return back to the source from which you came in order to carry and go forward.
Yes, sir. Words of wisdom from a wise man who is on fire, brother Captain Sharif. We appreciate you and thank you, brother. And listen, we want you to join us again this Wednesday as we continue to recap, because as our national chairman said, as our chairman said, it's just, you know, it's impossible to get all of this over to the people in just one show or a couple of hours. But join us again, please, Wednesday, and thank you again for your spirit. Thank you for your protection. Thank you for your work. Thank you for your efforts, and thank you for being a brother of Newark, New Jersey, and the Black Nation is proud to have you and proud to serve with you, brother.
Thank you, beloved. I definitely want to thank our national chairman, Brother Malik Zulu Shabazz, for doing a wonderful job and having the vision and foresight to get us over there, and thanks for giving me that opportunity to go there and be able to grow, you know, with our family and reconnect with our family. We cannot thank our national chairman enough for making his moves on behalf of the black nation and putting Marcus Garvey principles into work, not just in the talk, but into practice. Black power.
Black power. That's Brother Sharif Amenhotep, and he said it right. We have to thank our national chairman for having the vision. He'll be joining us in about another 10 minutes as we continue to build with you all over what it is that we experience. And it's really hard to put into words. I mean, you hear us, we're searching for it. We're searching for the right words to say. But it's hard to put in, but we're doing the best we can. Let me see if we got Minister King Samir Shabazz, or I know he needs to call in, supposed to call in. Area code 215-982. Is this Minister King Samir Shabazz, Black Power?
Black Power, Black Power. This is Brother Haru Kahuti.
That's Haru.
Yes,
there
sir.
He is.
Hey,
another man
Black
that we
Power.
Had to have on. Black Power, hey. you another black man that went and made this Hajj, made this pilgrimage to Azania. Tell us what you saw, sir. What happened? How do you feel?
Look, I feel the love. I feel the love that I got brothers and sisters out here, mothers and fathers, and we got children that are not only here in America, in the motherland, right? And that's, I mean, it's just the spirit of love, man, that we need, that I experience, even from my comrades, the New Black Panther Party, then to get over there and see the love that was shown to us when we got there. You know, our love is worth dying for, it's worth killing for. You know, and our African mind, man, we there. You know, we there, we just need to share it and to build in unity, man. That's why we train the way that we train. We feed our people. We, you know, we do the things that we do. And it's to see it all coming into, for lack of a word, clamoration, you know, in the way that we was treated when we got there, you know, to see that in the black community, even there, you know, we need love. The white man is the devil everywhere. You know, his colonization, his imperialism, the Pan-African spirit needs to be nurtured. It needs to be perpetuated. It needs to be, you know, consistently developed, you know, in the minds and hearts of our people. We need our African minds back. And that's what we continue to try to learn and to try to share with our people, You know, I mean, and it's a beautiful thing to see that, oh, this is real, you know, from the plane ride over there, you know, on that, like Brother Sharif was saying, being on South Africa Air. The chairman was talking about the black pilot, the black stewardess, you know, they come to our continent, man. That's our land, man. You know, I mean,
right.
we need to love each other, man, and I'm talking about economically, you know, just, you know, support ourselves, you know, treat our sisters and our brothers right, treat our mothers and our fathers right, you know, love, man, conquers all, you know, so we got to continue what we do, man, we on the right path, you know, it ain't no whole lot of people on this path right now, but we got to get them on, we got to really encourage you, get us to get on this path, man, love each other, man. You know,
yes, sir.
I mean,
so what are some of, brother? Who I know that you fired up. We're trying to get as much as we can in here. What are some of the major differences that you recognize now being here in America versus being in your homeland?
Well, I'm gonna tell you, I didn't see no major differences when it comes down to. You know, like the poverty, it's poverty there.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, some of the places we was at had marble floors and hardwood floors, just marble staircases. But everybody
mm-hmm.
didn't have that. We was in the places where there was dirt floors. You know, we was in the places where there were projects that and black on black crime going on just like there is here. You know, but it's the love, man, that we need to continue to perpetuate our people that are downtrodden, we feed them. You know, our people that are naked, we clothe them as best we can. That's why we take donations and do what we got to do. And we adopted the shelter, the orphanage, and so on over there. We need to be concerned about our history, you know, and how rich of a people we really are. You know, and we have more to teach about now. Right? The difference, the white man is the devil. The chairman said it. The same dog that bit them bit us. The same dog
yes,
that
sir.
Bit us bit them. You know.
Yes, sir, brother Haru. I'm sorry to cut you. Like I said, we can't fit it all in one show. But I want you to
That's
come
right.
back this Wednesday because I gotta bring in another delegate and get the chairman in here. But thank you, my brother. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for rolling with us. Thank you for holding it down, protecting our chairman's life, being there with us day in and day out, moving like a champion, staying up late, getting up early, making the sacrifices, rolling to Zimbabwe. Thank you for all that you do and all that you have done, sir. Please join us this Wednesday.
Hey, look, I've got to share this real quick, right?
It's got to be real because I got to move. Yes, sir.
All right. I showed up. Now, we was on the road. We was working hard, right? So we showed up in the lobby, and the chairman said, "Brother, you didn't shave this morning, right?" He took me in the bathroom. He went to the desk, the front desk, and got a razor and some shaving cream. Took me in the bathroom, put that cream on my little stubble, right, and shaved me. I was like, "Damn, this is love," you know.
That's brotherhood.
Right? Like,
that's brotherhood.
Right.
That's brotherhood.
Right,
that's real brotherhood. Yeah. Black power. Black power. Thank you so much, Brother Haru, who just shared a hell of a story. A hell of a story. Look, that's brotherhood. That's just African love. Chairman Malik Zulu Shabazz and Brother Haru, African love. Let me quickly bring in Minister King Samir Shabazz, and then we'll bring our national chairman back in. Brother Minister Samir Shabazz, Black Power, welcome to Black Power Radio, sir. What was your sights and sounds right before we bring our chairman in?
Again, Brother Minister Samir Shabazz,
Power Radio. Brother Samir,
you on? Yes, sir.
Black Power. Give us in brief, we don't have a lot of time, but we're trying to get it in here before our chairman come back. What were your sights and sounds? What did you see in Azania, South Africa? How were you treated?
Man, well, I must say, black man and black family, that I was treated exactly like the attribute of my name details. Straight up royalty, and I was actually given a home name, Nkosi, which means the warrior king. The first night we got there by the PAC. So it was beautiful to actually touch down with our brothers and sisters, our revolutionary brothers and sisters, who are for the same struggle and the liberation of our people. I saw white supremacy at an all-time high. I saw decadence and degeneracy at an all-time high. But I also saw liberationary spirit at an all-time high. And I saw the fact that, and I have to say this, black people in America talk too damn much about getting free when our people in Africa have given their lives and lost their families and their children and their babies and their uncles and aunties and cousins and big babas for the struggle of black people in Azania, in Zimbabwe, in Tanzania, in the whole diaspora. So it was an honor for me to just to step my little black size 8 boots on the soil of Mother Africa. It was an honor for me to secure the baddest black man in the hells and smells of North America today. I'm talking about attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. It was an honor for me, Sister Camila, to make sure that not one little eyelash off your beautiful black eyes fell off in the wrong manner. It was an honor for me, National Spokesman, to secure your life, sir, and make sure you had to do that what you had to do safely with that same strong revolutionary spirit. I'm happy, man. I'm still on fire. The Queen is making me get some rest at this time. But just know I'll be right back at it. And I want to congratulate, I have to do this very quickly, and we'll bring our chairman back on, but I want to congratulate the new Eastern Regional Chief of Staff, Brother Heru Kahuti. I want to congratulate the new
Black Power
Eastern Regional Deputy Lieutenant National Field Marshal, Brother Sharif, and the newer chairman, Brother Sharif Amenhotep. Brother Captain Bilal is our new Eastern Regional
Black
Minister
Power
of Defense. Black Power.
Black Power.
And Brother King Samir Shabazz is the new Eastern Regional Representative. So,
Black
good
Power.
Work, comrades. Keep up the work. And for those who ain't doing no work, you better get to work or we going to be doing some serious spring cleaning in the new Black Panther Party. Black Power.
Black Power. Appreciate it. Brother Minister Samir, thank you for your work. Thank you for your effort. Thank you for standing up, being bold, being recognized, putting in work. We appreciate you. Again, we want you to come back this Wednesday because we are pressed for time, and we don't want to miss anything. We want everybody to get a chance to say what they got to say and handle this business, but we're going to bring you back. And Black Power, and congratulations.
Thank you, sir. Black Power, family.
Thank you, and Black Power. As you can see clearly, family, we are fired up and excited. And again, words just does not express the feeling that we have right now. But we want to, at this time, rush quickly while we're on the live air to bring back our national chairman who yielded the floor to the delegation just so that we could share with you and tell you what we experienced. And now let us bring our national chairman back in, as there's a lot on his mind, a lot that he has to detail, and a lot that he has to share. This is Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. Black Power, sir.
All right, Black Power. My honor to be back on and to hear the words from our delegation. You all have heard it live for yourself from those who, as companions, we traveled across the waters. And I could say that I could not have a better security team and a better group of men that secured my life, led by Captain King Samir Shabazz and Captain Bilal and Captain Heru and Captain Sharif. And the way that they allowed me to plan, to think, to move, and to operate free of worry about my safety or my security, it was an honor. And so for those of you who missed it, you just missed it. I kept telling you, all year long, I said, join this delegation. But those that went, those mighty 10 that went and crossed those waters, we are forever thankful. Now let's go to the phone lines. Let me take a couple of questions from you, and let's go to the phone lines. because we want those key questions. And okay. I will even stay over. If you want to stay over off the internet, the phone line is 646-478-4447. I will take questions, 646-478-4447. This Wednesday night on Black Power Radio, our guests from Azania will all be on. The Pan-Africanist Congress of Azania, Blackwash, and some bold black women who are heading up the Soweto chapter of the New Black Panther Party, and a bold black women and other comrades who are heading up the Zimbabwe chapter of the New Black Panther Party will be on. But for the rest of the night and into the phone and after overtime, off the internet line, I have the floor right now at 646-478-4447. Sorry about that, Africa. I know it's 2 a.m. in Africa, but we're going to have some times where it's 8 p.m. in Africa and it's 2 p.m. in America, and your shows will air where it is convenient for African peoples. Let's go. I'll take at least a question from you, Brother Sean, and we'll go right to questions from the phone line.
Okay, question number one. You had mentioned earlier that the Sharpeville experience for you was the greatest experience in your life. How does this experience of Sharpeville differ than any other time that you've had in your life?
Well, I want to say that the whole trip, I would say that every day was like a new high for us. So every day was the greatest day. And so once we went through, you know, actually being in the streets and marching and demonstrating with our brothers and sisters in Africa, as we have done in America, but being with our African brothers and sisters and then getting a sense of the martyrdom and the price of struggle that had been paid and communing there in those holy and sacred grounds. Yes, that was a great day, a great start to the trip. But again, there were so many highlights every day. You know, fact-finding in Soweto was just as important. Seeing the economic conditions of how our brothers and sisters live and suffer is important. But also seeing the diversity of Soweto, as it is 7 million residents. Yes, what I said, 7 million in Soweto. Some parts very poor, other parts they're riding Land Rovers and BMWs can be seen. And so the fact-finding for me was critical to see how our people live and to see how they are trying to survive, and others have already arrived in Azania or South Africa. Same thing in Zimbabwe. And so, you know, my highlights kept getting bigger and stronger as the trip went along. Being a part of the symposium, the Pan-African International, with 10 other Pan-Africanist organizations, AZAPO, Blackwash, veterans from the PAC, APLA, Baba Buntu, and others, a few others, veterans from labor organizations who were on that stage. I can't call every name. That was a highlight for me, to be with critical thinking organizers and amass, you know, almost 100 or more of us in a critical question and answer session as we dig into this ideology we call Pan-Africanism and what are the strategies and the tactics of it. That was strong for me, you know. But going into Zimbabwe was even stronger, you know, it was as strong. You know, it was the end was as strong as the beginning. And so maybe in the question and answer session I'll get off into that, because I damn sure went into Zimbabwe and went in there to stand with the boldest black man on the continent of Africa and one of the boldest black men in the history of black peoples. I'm talking about His Excellency, the Honorable Comrade Robert Mugabe, and certainly went in there and took care of plenty of business. Some I can talk about on this phone, and some I will not choose to talk about this phone. But movements and serious moves were made for our liberation and our salvation. And we got some serious work here to do at home. So I just answer all that to say, brother, that it started off as being Sharpeville was And we felt that after Sharpeville and the first day that we could have went home and the trip would have been worth just that. But after 7 days of organizing and moving and making those kind of moves that needed to be made in this point in time in history, certainly the trip in and of itself was the highlight of my life. And that's pretty much how it goes. Let's go to the phone lines.
Okay, let's take the calls. The number 646-478-4447, 646-478-4447. We'll go right to the phone line. Listen for your area code. First area code is 347-272, 347-272. You're on live with Dr. Malik Zulu-Shabazz, our national chairman. We're talking about Africa. Your question, your comment, Black Power, and welcome.
Peace, Black Power family, Black Power to our national chairman,
peace.
Malik Zulu-Shabazz.
Welcome.
Black Power to my national spokesman, Sean.
Hey, Black Power.
Lee, Black Power to all the delegation. I wish I could say welcome home, but I guess I got to say welcome back to the hells and smells of North America because y'all just left home. But y'all done covered everything, comrades. I just got one question I want y'all to confirm, man. Let all the people know, man, how much love that our brothers and sisters over there in the motherland gave y'all so that they know reassuringly that we're welcome there. We're welcome home, and that is our home.
Well, thank you so much, Brother Shaw. And I will be in New York, April 11th, Thursday. I will be at the House of the Lord Church in Brooklyn for a welcome back celebration. As the pastor there, Reverend Herbert Daughtry, has a history of fighting against apartheid, and I am being at House of the Lord Church, hosted by Brother Yah and Oba and the New Black Panther Party. And I'm also supposed to be at City College in Harlem at 5 p.m. from 5 to 6:30 for a reception sponsored by Brother Shahid and Khadija. And we also want to keep our little brother Hannibal Rushdie in our prayers in this hour, certainly. Want to do that. And so I will be in New York to officially have video and to commune and debrief in the Pan-African community in New York on the 11th. I will also visit Brooklyn and the murder scene and the scene of action for Kimani Gray. I will be on the ground there distributing pamphlets and information about what to do when stopped by the police and helping to train and organize with the activists who are there at Ground Zero. Meanwhile, Black at the Ranch, brother, they gave us a lot of love and a lot of respect, and we gave it back. And this mutual love and mutual respect is which is going to guide the way for the Africans in the West and the Africans in the East. And so we're continuing. We're mutually planning, us and the PAC and others. We're inviting 200 organizations. 200 organizations to a worldwide conference on Pan-Africanism and the rise of our people. Worldwide convention on Pan-Africanism in its most holistic sense will take place in June of 2014 in South Africa, in Azania. And so this is just the beginning of a great work that we're going to do to bring about that which we have lacked. And that is all African unity all around the planet, all African unity. And so if the focus is on us in the West and we're looked up to or admired in the West, then we're going to stand up and give Black people in Africa something really to be proud of. And we all have to step up our game. And in the East, they have their arms reached out to us, and we have our arms reached out to them, and we're going to get some work done. So let me take some more questions because I'm going to get down to that work and what this really means and how the vision of the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey, how his vision can be fulfilled in this hour, as well as the vision of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and how he had the arms of the Black man of Africa stretched out to the Black man of America holding hands about how that vision can be fulfilled in this hour, as well as other visions of repatriation, a land and territory of our own, economic progress. There's gold in Africa.
diamonds in Africa, iron ore in Africa. There's precious metals in Africa. And it is not just for the taking of the American or the British. It's not really for the taking of anybody, not the Chinese, not anybody. But it should be for the sharing of the black man and the black woman who desires the total liberation of our people. It should be for the sharing amongst us. And so let's go to the phone lines. I can pick back up on that, but there's a lot, so much I have to tell. It's going to have to be told in a series of broadcasts over several weeks. And so to get down into this, the elections in Zimbabwe, how critical the elections are, how critical it is that Mr. Mugabe and ZANU-PF stay in power. What kind of government is that in power? Are there any other Pan-African governments in power in any way in Africa? We have to answer these questions. There's a fight. There's a fight on hand. Yes, we're happy. Yes, we're exalted. Yes, we have been transformed. But we are also here back very sober-minded about the job and what must be done. And a job was given to me in Africa that I must share with you all in America, and you all are going to have to help me to get that job done. And so let's go to the phone lines.
All right, Brother Shaw, thank you so, so much for your call. Look out for us there in New York City. Your area code here is 757-208. You're on live with our national chairman in Black Power Radio. Your question, your comment. Black Power, welcome to the radio show.
Black Power, this is Sister Chuma. I didn't have a question. I just had a comment. And I just wanted to say that I am ecstatic that you all made it to Africa. Like, every day I'm bragging, like, yo, we in Africa, we in Africa, we in Africa. So
that's
now,
right.
You know, that was a milestone that we needed to get over. You know what I'm saying? Now that we have done that, it's no stopping us. You know what I'm saying? So I'm good with that. So, like I said, now, you know what I'm saying? I could just redirect that energy. Now, I have been offered an opportunity to go to Ghana this year for 6 weeks to teach a class. So that would be my focus, and if I like it, I may not be coming back. So I'll just let y'all know.
Well, good luck, my dear sister. Good luck. Us going to Africa and back and forth between Africa is going to be very common in the future. Not only did we go to Africa, sister, do a front page headlines in Africa. We were all in the news in Africa and in South Africa, Zambia, and in Zimbabwe. We really made an impact according to our hosts themselves, according to the Pan-Africanist Congress themselves, that the kind of impact we made had given them the kind of boost that they had not had in years. And they held me back. I wanted to do more over there. So what I'm trying to tell you is that we made a serious impact, and we're honored.
But you
it's
know
really
what,
them, you know, and we have there's warmth for us, there's love for us, and we have connections there, and now we have the organization there. And so truly we can say that we have a home now in Africa, and they want me to buy a house there, and there's land in Zimbabwe, acres, and what they call hectares. And so this is real.
Yes, and you know the beautiful thing about it is we've always had a disconnection, because even here in VA, the African community and the Black Power movement here always had that little separation because we were misunderstanding each other. And every time I go to an event put on by the African community, I always ask them, like, why don't y'all like us? And they all tell me, oh, we love y'all. Y'all don't like us. You know what I'm saying? So it's always that miscommunication. But the fact that you all made that trip over there, that is our bridge. You know what I'm saying? And that is going to be the understanding between us and them, that we love each other because we family. You know what
well,
I'm saying? You just don't understand. I am just totally excited about the fact that you all were over there. So keep up the good work. I'm proud, you know, to be on
you.
Team with you guys.
Thank you so much, Queen.
I love y'all.
I love you, too. And for all of those who
our trip has inspired you and you feel that in some way you have been there with us and it has transformed you, feel welcome. We're not arrogant at all to look down on anybody that did not go. We know many of y'all wanted to go, and you will go in the future. But for those who traveled through us, we're grateful and thankful that we were able to have that impact on your life. And, you know, it's not symbolic. There's substance to our trip, and there's substance that we all can take a part of. Now, I want to get to some more questions. What time is it?
40 after.
9:40. I got to just say this straight up because time is running. And let me get down to some business here. We got work to do. We want to be happy and inspired, but we have to be inspired to understand where we are in the mission. Other than that, there's many have taken trips to Africa, but the follow-up is what's really important. And so, number one, there's going to be a convention in June 16th, the anniversary of the Soweto Uprising in 2014. In Azania, in South Africa, we're going to have this worldwide Pan-African convention. And we're putting our heads together now. And we'll put our heads together. And we are going to invite 200 black organizations or African organizations from around the continent and from around the world. That means organizations, churches, mosques, those that really want to and believe in the liberation of our people and know that Africa is central. We want to get a central point across to you in your brain tonight that Africa to the black man and woman here is as Israel is to the so-called Jew here and all over the so-called Jewish diaspora. That's how important Africa is to us. That's how you realize how strong Africa can be if it took control of its own destiny. We dominate the face of the planet Earth in no time. And so this is a serious work, and this conference is dedicated towards furthering that work. And so I'm going to be talking to black organizations and churches here. I myself and Pastor Ted are going to be going around and talking to churches and talking to spiritual leaders. We're going to sit down with Minister Louis Farrakhan, and I need to explain to him what I have discovered in Africa. And what I have found out and what needs to be done. We got work to do. We got the convention coming up, but we got an election coming up in Zimbabwe right away. We have an election that is coming up. It may be as soon as June or sometime this summer, depending on the politics inside Zimbabwe. This election is of critical importance. Since the assassination of Muammar Gaddafi by NATO and America, we don't have a leader in Africa that outright promotes and stands on Pan-Africanism and whose party in power is the policies of Pan-Africanism. And so, and all you have in sub-Saharan Africa, and really all you have had in sub-Saharan Africa, that bold black man, the lion, of Zimbabwe, and the commander of the 1st Chimurenga, the 2nd Chimurenga, the 3rd Chimurenga, and the 4th Chimurenga. Chimurenga means struggle or revolution in the Shona language amongst the Zimbabwe people. So when you go into Zimbabwe, you have to address them Pombere Nachimurenga. Pombere Nachimurenga means on with the struggle and forward with the struggle for our land. And that was the battle cry amongst the revolutionaries who were fighting for the freedom against Rhodesia. Oh, no good Rhodesia, and oh, no good Cecil Rhodes, and those bloody British bastards that took the land from the Zimbabwe people, and they had to fight a 1st Chimurenga, 2nd Chimurenga, 3rd Chimurenga, 4th Chimurenga, a revolution that would sweep and did sweep the white man out of power, even as old bloody Ian Smith piled up the bones of black people, the bones of Africans,
and their skulls up in his Holocaust, the Black Holocaust or the African Holocaust or the Great Maafa. Out of that comes the Honorable Robert Mugabe, who even after being tricked by the British at the British lied in 1980 at the Lancaster Agreement, saying that they would redistribute the land, but the British tricked the black man and woman of Zimbabwe and tried to leave 90% of the land in the hand of white settlers. And so therefore you get to the year 2000 and the white man in Zimbabwe still owns 90% of the cultivatable land. And so Mr. Mugabe could no longer depend on the British to keep their word, which they've never kept. He had to move out and to have the land redistributed amongst the indigenous people, now called his policy of indigenization. Giving the land back to the indigenous people, indigenization. I'm trying to get that word right. Y'all bear with me. Indigenization. There it is. Indigenization. It's only been 400 years since the cracker has taken my tongue. So anyway, I can really get all off into that. I'm going to have to wait till next Monday. But I'm here to tell you that they put sanctions on Zimbabwe, and those sanctions are wrong. The United States and England and the European Union have put sanctions on Zimbabwe, and sanctions are a weapon of mass destruction. This was my message inside Zimbabwe. This was my message to the leadership of ZANU-PF. I was treated with first class by the government of Zimbabwe. That's what I said, Sean Hannity. I was treated first class by the government of Robert Mugabe, and I'm here to tell you that Mr. Mugabe is correct and that black people in America are going to understand that the struggle for land, as we cry out, he's been laid through, that the land belongs to us in Azania. It's the same cry in Zimbabwe, with Pumbere Nachimarenga, on with the struggle and the struggle for our land in Zimbabwe. And this is what Mr. Mugabe is fighting for. This is what the Zimbabwe African National Union is fighting for. The ZANU-PF party, the Patriotic Front, the party is fighting for. We have to get the cracker's foot, the United States government's foot, off of our brother's neck so they can continue to have control of their land, because there are diamonds in that land, gold in that land, minerals in that land. And that land, it belongs to those that will fight for that land. And I'm here to tell you that we are a part of that fight for that land, and they are inviting us to help share in the benefits for that land, but we have to stand up and fight for that land and fight for that man who is the president over that land. We have to get Mr. Mugabe elected. And so within the next 60 days, we're shooting for a worldwide webcast entitled Mr. Mugabe, His Honorable President Mugabe Speaks to the World. And we want this worldwide webcast to go across the world, go across newblackpanther.com, go across NOI.org, go across the December 12th movement website, everywhere I went in Zimbabwe amongst the Mugabe people. They spoke of the good works of the December 12th movement, who have traveled back and forth to their conventions and conferences and have blazed a trail here for the defense of ZANU-PF and Mr. Mugabe. Don't get it twisted. That is the order of this particular operation. And so we're shooting for a unified webcast within the next 60 days to make sure that in this close, close election in Zimbabwe, that the scales are tilted in the favor of the Pan-Africanist and not in the favor of these backwards Uncle Tom bamboozling, bootlicking, reactionary, recalcitrant, reverse-oriented, right-wing, reactionary fools in the MDC and sponsored by the CIA and British intelligence, MDC, we cannot let them have Zimbabwe. So there's a, don't get too happy. There's a fight on our hands. What time is it, brother?
It's 9:50.
9:50. Time is running. So I had to let you know that, that we are specifically charged and duty-bound here on this radio broadcast. And for those Pan-Africanists that are listening on this line, I'm talking to the UNIA. I'm talking to the Republic of New Africa. I'm talking to INCOBRA. I'm talking to the Nation of Islam under the leadership of the Honorable Louis Farrakhan. I'm talking to the Nation of Islam under the leadership of the Honorable Silas Muhammad. I'm talking about the All-African Revolutionary Party, All-African People's Revolutionary Party, GC or AAPRP, no GC. I'm talking about Dr. Leonard Jeffries. I'm talking about WADU. I'm talking to you, Black Church, African Methodist Episcopal. I'm talking to you, pastor or preacher that's interested in Africa. I'm talking to the black man and the black woman lost to a knowledge of self. Now is the time we in the West are going to have to learn about what's happening in the East and stand up in the East. And there's one who's under attack by the beast. He is our elder, his president, His Excellency, Dr. Robert Mugabe. And don't you believe the lies of the white man here in the West who will tell you that he is a dictator. There's a real election over there going where 70% of the people vote. You only get 52% election turnout in America, and you can't even run for president unless you're a multimillionaire. Don't tell me nothing about no democracy. You can't even run here unless you're a multimillionaire. Now, 70% of the people voting over there, and it's a close election. And all kind of enemy forces is working to make sure Mr. Mugabe is unseated. And so we got to wake up and stand up and speak out here in the hills of America and make sure that every vote counts. The youth in Zimbabwe, they want to know. They want to know where the black man and woman of America stand. They look up to you. They listening to Rick Ross. They listening to Lil Wayne, and they practically driven them insane. They don't know about brothers and sisters who fought with real AK-47s, real bullets, real bombs, and have really been over there freeing that land from the white man. And have fought like real G's. Real G's are guerrillas. And I ain't talking about the G-O-rilla, the G-U-E-rilla. They don't even hardly know their own history there. They look up to the black man and woman in the West. And if we let them know in the East that we back Mugabe and Pan-Africanism and that the bling-bling should be in the hands of the people, man, we got a job to do, sisters and brothers. So we're going to call in on all Pan-African organizations, churches, rappers, everybody we can get our hands on, to take a stand in the next 60 days to make sure that ZANU-PF and the Mugabe brothers and sisters stay in power, all hands on deck. I wanted to get that in before the broadcast goes off the air. You there?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and so, you know, brothers and sisters, these are the reasons that we're held up by customs when we come back, and these are the reasons that we... Yes, we have rewards, but there are risks. This is a risky job that we're doing, but we're doing it, man, because we love our people. And we're not going to sit up here and theorize and say that the imperialists got Mugabe. Like we're talking, the imperialists got past tense, got Gaddafi.
Right, right.
And we write what they did to Mugabe. We're in the time right now we can make and shape history. As we say, we're tap-dancing on the tongue of the rattlesnake right here that's wrapped around all of the nations of the earth right here in America and specifically right here in Washington, D.C. Right here in D.C. Now, Obama's in his White House, and I'm in my little black house. Now, we got a job to do, sisters and brothers. I think this radio broadcast is going off, but look, And we'll go back to the phone lines. But I wanted to say that we got to stand up for Zimbabwe, Pamberi na Chimurenga, on with the struggle and get the struggle on. That's what the battle cry is in Zimbabwe. And over in Azania, the battle cry is Izwe Letu, Izwe Letu, that the land belongs to us. Also Amandla, Amandla Iwetu, that power belongs to us. Another part of the battle cry in Africa, the battle cry is Uhuru, Uhuru Sasa, freedom, freedom now. And another part of the planet and all over the planet, the battle cry is Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. No power, no force, no combination of powers and no forces do we bow to. We bow to God and God alone, and God is the greatest. Another part of the planet, the battle cry is Kadima. Kadima Yaumila, on. No matter, no power, no forces, no combination of powers and forces. Straight ahead with God. We're going with God. Kadima Yaumila. Another part of the planet over here, the battle cry is forward ever, backward never. Forward ever, backward never. Another part of the planet, the battle cry is one settler, one bullet. Another part of the battle planet, one part of the planet, another part of the planet, the battle cry is one God, one aim, and one destiny. And so to you who are listening, another part is free to land. Another cry is black power. Power belongs to black people. Another part is power to the people. The question is, when will you who are listening to me join the liberation struggle? When will you put down
right.
your pom-poms and your shakers, as I was taught by my teacher, Minister and Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad, and when will you join in to this liberation struggle? I invite you to stand up with the new Black Panther Party and text 502-299-8530, 502-299-8530, or inbox me on Facebook. Inbox Minister Sean Kwali on Facebook. You know where we are these days. There's no hiding place from us. If you believe in revolutionary Pan-Africanism, if you believe in black nationalism, if you believe in black power, if you believe in what you just saw and heard with your own two eyes and heard with your own two ears and witnessed right before your eyes, and if you believe that that is a seed that is planted and watered and planted all over the earth, that truth crushed to the earth shall rise, and that the redemption of African people is not just talk, but it's a reality. Then you text us at 502-299-8530 and get in right where you fit in. Get in right where you fit in, because there's a place for you at this table. If you don't like the new Black Panther Party, we'll give you the information of how you can join the Pan-Africanist Congress of Azania. If you don't want to join the Pan-Africanist Congress of Azania, then we'll give you information where you can join any other African organization, but you're going to have to join something and do something in this hour. That's enough of my altar call and sermon. And hold 1 second. Wow. Okay. Anyway, you there?
Yes, sir. We're still here.
Okay. Okay, so I will, 9:58. Okay, dear sisters and brothers, what I'm saying over the internet and before we stay on the phone line, if you want to stay on with us, is 646-478-4447. I will answer a few more questions. 646-478-4447. We're going to go to the phone lines now. Our website is www.newblackpanther.com, newblackpanther.com. We're back from South Africa, back from Zimbabwe, and we are re-energized, and we are transformed, and we are baptized, and we got a mission, and we got an assignment, and we got a lot to share with you. Let's go to the phone lines.
Okay. Thank you so much, Brother Chairman, for that commentary, the mission, and the instructions. Those of you who are online with us now, you will be our final questions for the night, so hold your positions. I'm going to come to you with now streaming live off of the air. Let's go right to the phone at area code 410-428. 410-428, you're on live with Black Power Radio and our after show. Give us your question, please. Black Power, your comment.
Black Power, brothers. How you doing? This is Minister Ted from the Ministers of Defense. Your good brother
Black
that travels
Power.
With you. Overseas, Black Power.
Yes, sir. Black
Ted.
Power.
Hey, Minister. What's going on,
yeah,
sir?
Yeah. You know what's up. You already know how it's going down. You already know.
Go ahead,
but,
man.
But
you got the floor, man. Let me be quiet now. Go ahead.
No, I'm still going to follow protocol with this because, but I know I was right there on the streets and riding in the back of the pickup truck with the freedom fighting in Zimbabwe and up and down the streets of South Africa and Soweto and in the townships and Sharpeville and in the cemetery and the whole nine. And but what I wanted to ask you is, brother, can you just briefly just tell brothers, how did you feel when we stepped on that ground of Heroes Acre that had all of the freedom fighters who had given their lives to free the land, which to me, when you mention freedom fighters, they are the epitome and the role models of people who had given their lives so that others could be free. How did you feel just being there at that exact spot, at that exact time period?
Man, but I felt just like how you felt as we were right there together. It's like, you know, when you're in America and you say you're a revolutionary or you say you're a freedom fighter, and then you go to lands that, where you see people that have fought and given their lives there, the way they say Paul Revere and George Washington and the white man of America fought the British here, then you have nothing to do but to be very humble in the presence of such awesomeness and such greatness, man. And so I was very humble, you know, like you were, to be there, and it makes you more committed. You know, it strengthens your commitment to our struggle when you see the martyrs that have died for such a righteous cause. And everybody needs to know this, though. This is Pat. This is Minister Ted Sutton. We call him the youth pastor, Pastor Ted, in South Africa. He was a big hit, but he was a big part of the delegation. Everywhere I spoke, Pastor Ted spoke also, and he was very well received. And our delegation was well-rounded. And so I needed, brothers and sisters need to know here who are on this radio listening audience, that the new Black Panther Party and Malik Zulu Shabazz, we roll with us some black church. When those who are in the black church want liberation, we rolling side by side on this. And so it was important over there, in many key times, particularly in Zimbabwe, for them to understand that our Christian family was with us as well. That's what I said. I said our Christian family. You
That's
go
right.
in South Africa and you go in South Africa and Zimbabwe, and Easter just shut down the whole nation. All of these countries is dominated by brothers and sisters who are Christian. And so as we come back in America and we talk about our movement and where we're going, I must let you know right now that working with pastors like Pastor Ted and working inside the black church for those who are in the church that love Africa is as important as working with any community here, because that's where our people are. And many of them are traveling to Africa, but they didn't quite travel like Pastor Ted. Now, we're going to ask you some questions. We're going to ask you some questions about your trip and what were the highlights of your trip, sir?
Well, I'll tell you like this. First, to just be on my homeland, to be back, and you heard me say it plenty of times, to have been kidnapped and had my ancestors kidnapped and brought to this land against their will. And to go back a 17-hour trip, an hour layover, another hour ride, and riding around to Sharpeville, another 2-hour flight to Zimbabwe, to me the travel was absolutely nothing. It was nothing compared to what my ancestors, how they had to travel coming here. So I was in first class in every way as far as I was concerned. But to be received by our brothers and sisters, and another part, to not be judged because we don't know all of the ways and the cultures and the history and some of the different things that we had had been robbed from us when we were brought here. To stand there at Sharpeville and see those thousands of people standing before us and waiting to hear what we had to say. To stand in solidarity with the people, with the 69 slain people who were murdered and gunned down by the officers because they just wanted to be free. And to be in the cemetery, standing with all of those grave sites lined up, to be able to stand with the family members at the memorials where they actually had stone fixtures where the people actually fell as they were being gunned down by the police and they were unarmed. I felt humbled. I felt enlightened. I felt privileged because I was receiving something that a lot of our other brothers that's in this country in the U.S. do not receive, and that is the opportunity to be able to see more than what we know, an opportunity to be able to see something different from what we see, and to see it from a different perspective. And I think that it really helped me. So to talk to the brothers out on the street and to go out and just be able to see what's your issues, what's on your mind. And I was representing the Ministers of Defense and different people who want change and the gang members that I work with, and I felt like I was making this trip not for me, but also my ancestors. My ancestors that died as slaves. My ancestors that died couldn't go into white stores. My ancestors who died, and they never had a chance to have a proper education. My ancestors. They didn't get that opportunity, but they knew one day that maybe their great uncle or their great nephew or their great little cousin would finally make it over, and I was the one. So I felt privileged, brother. I felt privileged then, and I still feel privileged, and I had a chance to speak on yesterday, and I enlightened people about that trip. And I'm going to continue. Oh, it was dynamic. It was dynamic. I let them know, and I spoke on who you rolling with, and I spoke about there's gonna come a time in every man and woman's life that you're gonna have to make a choice of what side you stand on. And I said, and don't let people try to separate us with different things by calling one name and this thing. And I said, you are not being discriminated against because you are a Pew dog. You are not being discriminated against because you are a Blood or a Crip. You are not being discriminated because you went to Howard University and I went to Morgan University. We are being discriminated against. We are being oppressed on one common thing, and we need to come together on that. So, and I made that a very clear that people have to, you're going to be challenged at some point in your life to make a decision of what side you on. And it's not as gray as people think. It's either black or white. It's very clear of what side you want to be on. Are you going to be a slave mentally, or do you want to be free? So, to me, it's real simple. But my whole thing that I was talking about is but when that time comes, you're going to have to make a choice, and I just need to know one thing, who you rolling with?
Well, stay on the line. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm still here, brother.
Stay on the line and let's answer these calls together. This is my partner. This is my cousin, but we were allies in delegation with this message. And we teamed up. Like when we teamed up, when we went to Zimbabwe, I came with a message and a certain mission. But the fact that he was a Christian pastor, and this was mainly a Christian nation, he was able to get a message across that let them, that built more confidence in what we were doing and made them more comfortable with us. And so God was working this trip, man. He was working it in a whole lot of ways. And as soon as we got up from our meeting, with at least 7 or 8 of the top ministers in the government in Zimbabwe, they all immediately were demanded that we meet with the president right away.
Mm-hmm.
We had to delay all our flights and everything because they were adamant that we needed to meet and that I needed to meet with him right away. But there's a big election going on over there coming up, and there was a cabinet meeting that he was in the next morning. And because the election is so tense back and forth, that cabinet meeting ran overtime, and he had to fly immediately out of there to what's called the BRICS conference. BRICS, B for Brazil, R for Russia, I for India, C for China, S for South Africa. The big economic conference was going on in South Africa. That's another story, that this alliance called BRICS and the base that is building amongst so-called third world nations is actually posing problems to the West and to the European Union, who have tried to dominate all the economies. That's another subject for another time. But we went to the highest levels over there, and God took us to the highest level and brought us back here for a certain reason. Let's go to the phone lines. We can share. I want to share a story, though, also, as we go to the lines. One time we were in that that place across from the hotel, you know, Ted, the chicken place.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you were there. You was by the pool. We went out. I had went out for a minute. We had to make a move to go to the store, the Western Union. And I went out with 3 of the men. This is after we had been on TV and after we had been in the newspaper. So we went in the restaurant, and it was packed in there with our people. And I went to the ATM machine. And the brothers was on post security, but they were on post, and they were doing their job. But they were so hard and rigid when they were on security, I'm not even noticing. I'm just on the machine. And then all of the people in the whole restaurant just stopped and started looking at me and the men.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't looking at us too friendly. They were either looking at us because they were wondering who the hell we were, or some of them might have been in fear, or some of them may have even thought what was sweeping through the country, what was called Satanism. They didn't know who the hell we were, these men in these black uniforms. And, you know, because to have a military uniform on in Africa, really, to be honest, is kind of no big thing. It's people running around in military uniforms everywhere, and some of them good guys and some of them bad guys. Just as we were leaving, there was a coup in the Central African Republic. One group of men or some rebels had swooped in and South Africa had some troops inside the Central African Republic, and they killed 13 South African troops on their way to overtaking the capital of the Central African Republic. Well, I'm just saying, in Africa, some men with some military uniforms on, ain't necessarily no big deal. The people ain't going to be cheering for you. They may think you're coming to kill them or beat them or anything. They don't know what side you're on until your purpose is made known. So in that restaurant, and at another point even out on the street, but in this restaurant I had to stop and warm up and start talking to all of the people one by one, letting them know who we are, where we're from, what our intentions were. And then they all warmed up to us. They wanted to take pictures with us and get our phone numbers and brochures. But at first, they were looking like, who in the hell is this? And some of our men were so strong, they were too strong. And so I still say to all of those with the message, even you have to be like Dr. Khalid Muhammad taught us about the iron hand and the velvet glove. The iron hand, yet the velvet glove. Be strong, but also be smooth. Also have a strong base and a firm foundation, but also be smooth and have a way that our people can feel you, because our people have been through a lot in Africa. They've been through a lot, man. And it took me some time, about 30 minutes in that restaurant, to sit and talk with them brothers and sisters individually and let them know who we were and what our purposes were, and they warmed up to us. And that was a special moment, even out on the streets. You had to take time. People just ain't automatically going to see you from America and love you. They don't know who the hell you are.
That's
what
right.
The hell you doing? You had to really take some time and let our people know over there that you love them. And so that was one of my better experiences. Right there in Zimbabwe in that restaurant was as important as meeting with all them government people and all of that. Also, we had some real experiences. Anyway, let's go to the phone line, sisters and brothers.
All right.
Stay on with me, Ted. We can handle these questions together.
I'm still here.
All right, got a couple calls here. Area code 562-239, 562-239. You're on air, Black Power Radio, with Dr. Malik Zubu-Shabazz and Pastor Ted Sutton and myself. Black Power, your question, your comment, please. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Brother National Spokesman. Brother Ali, that's my name, brother. Formerly known as Brother Vernon X, brother. I've changed my name, Brother Sean. Welcome home, brothers, Brother National Chairman. Brother, I have one question. Was your mission totally accomplished? Did you accomplish everything you set out to do?
I accomplished more. I could say, as ambitious as I think I am, I accomplished more than what I set out to do because, when I went there, I knew I would speak at Sharpeville. I knew I would... be with the TAC, establish some relations with them. I was hoping that I would get into Zimbabwe. I didn't know what was going to happen there. So all of that exceeded our expectations. But actually experiencing it is really what makes it exceed your expectations. But you can't talk. You cannot envision Africa and having an African experience until you go through it. You can have it on paper, but until you actually live it and experience it, it's two totally different things. And so, after going, those days, man, they really changed my life. Those days and those experiences and those moves and maneuvers and having to exhibit leadership on the spot, on the scene, and for us to have to handle our business as professionals every day. This wasn't no easy schedule. I mean, we was up all night, next day, up early, out, and you got to have it right and exact every day, just like you see them tours you've seen and read about, Minister Farrakhan World Friendship Tour, or maybe at another point, Malcolm Tours. These tours were like that. And so I come out, I could say it definitely exceeded, because I didn't expect to come back as seasoned as I am. I come back more seasoned, more experienced, wiser, stronger, everybody.
Yes, sir. I mean, so
it absolutely exceeded expectations. There's no doubt about it.
Yes, sir. On behalf of the L.A. chapter, brother,
Thank you, brother, so much, and we love you very much, brother. Thank you. But, brother, I have one more question, brother. I just want to know, did you bring me back one of them beautiful Azanian sisters, brother?
Well, let me tell you this.
Just a little humor, brother.
No,
we love
no,
you, brother.
No, sir, I did not, brother. But you can go yourself if you want an Azanian wife, you know.
Yes, sir. With all due respect, sir.
Oh, yeah, and that's one of the subjects we spoke on and was able to offer some help on, and what we need to understand also in America and certainly in Africa is that we must respect and protect the black woman. We must respect
and protect
the African woman. Now, we got
a couple
of sisters that are chairwoman over our chapters now in Soweto and also in Zimbabwe. And so... you know, brother, if you desire to take an Azanian wife, there are plenty of beautiful, bold black women around Azania that will take an honest
African husband. Was on the Facebook every day. Yes, sir, brother. Thank you, brother Chairman.
Sir.
And thank you, brother National Spokesman. Black
no
Power.
Problem. We love you. We love you. Say your middle name, Ali, right?
Brother Ali. That's my name now, brother.
All right, Brother Ali, you my brother. Thank you for your support and your contributions. You're a man that helped us get there, so thank you so much.
Oh, brother, see you when you come to L.A., brother. Black Power.
Okay. Hey. Okay, thank
all right,
you.
Black Power, Brother Ali. Thank you so much. This is the last call of the night, sir. Area code 562-607, or sirs, 562-607. You're on live Black Power Radio with Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, Minister and Pastor Ted Sutton. Give us your question, your comment. We're talking about Azania, South Africa. Just talk to us, Black Power.
Black Power, Sean, can you hear me? Brother Sean?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yes.
Hey, Black Power.
Black Power, and greetings, Malik Zulu Shabazz. I'm so happy that you made it back safe to Mahogany X of the Black Riders. And I have a question. I have two questions. The first question is that while y'all were over there on the news out here, I heard about Nelson Mandela being hospitalized. I wanted to know how is his condition now because I didn't hear anything else about it. And two, what is the – I know there are gang problems out here, but what about in South Africa? Do they have that same gang population or problem out there and are they doing anything about it, like gang intervention?
I'm going to Pastor Ted answer the question about gangs in South Africa or Zania. I'm going to say I heard nothing more about Nelson Mandela, Brother Nelson Mandela being, pardon me. Only thing I heard is what you heard, sister, that Mr. Nelson Mandela was in the hospital and that he had been in the hospital a few times and that his health was not good. And so that's all that I heard, sister.
Okay.
And obviously that was a great concern to people there.
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of prayers out here. We've all been doing a lot of prayers out here for him, that he gets a speedy recovery. And
we would hope
second
so,
question
sister.
Was on
we would,
the
hope,
on
that
the
we would hope that he would make a recovery. Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
I'll let Pastor Ted speak to the gang issue. What
I will say is that they have a problem with definitely a lot of their youth gravitating to a lot of the gangs there, the same as here. The one that I really wasn't surprised that they actually even have a group, different groups that mimic the American gangs. And in fact, to go even further, they actually even have a gang that's called the Americans. And so I'm just giving you an example of how far it has gone. I mean, so to listen to some of the rap music, they try to dress and different things. And but to me, it's still a call out for youth that are looking for something to be a part of.
Right.
I mean, but one thing I will say, what really gave me hope is to see the conscious young people who we did get a chance to interact with and reach out to, the ones who really understood what the real struggle was about. And I think that, to me, now with me being someone who has worked with gangs from Montego Bay to London to out in L.A. to Chicago, Philadelphia, New Orleans, to meet definitely that group that they sat out in the hot sun, you know, in Sharpeville, to wait until the entire program was finished. That just really surprised me, because I was like, man, they're not going to stay this long, and they stayed, and that really encouraged me. So and it gave me some more hope. So to say that, yes, they do have a problem with the gangs. The gangs are definitely stronger in Cape Town more than in Johannesburg. But I will say that, but I do see it at a different level, and they're not at the level of what's going on here in America.
Oh, wow. Okay, so, I mean, even by me being a member of the Black Rioters, I'm also a member of Ceasefire, a gang interventionist group here in Los Angeles. And I will bring this up in our meeting on Wednesday night, because we do need to form a bridge to stop the black-on-black crime, because it's a world problem now in Jamaica with the garrisons everywhere. It's all over the world. It's genocide. And that's the way and I'm with you, Brother Malik. If I have to, I will talk to Ceasefire Wednesday night to see if we, too, can join on with you and to try to stop this violence in Africa.
And you know what? And I was going to say, and when you do, even mention my name, because the brothers out of Chicago that was Ceasefire, they also know me very well. Even the ones, they did a show called The Interrupters. The guy Kobe that's on there, he knows me very well. The guy Tebow that's over, you know, Ceasefire in Chicago, the brother there, Brother T, and I'm trying to remember his exact name, but, I mean, he's one of the people that was right there. In fact, they asked me to be the director in Baltimore, you know, over what they call Safe Street in one of the areas of Park Heights. And, you know, but for me, they were trying to put too many restraints on me, and I'm a hands-on person. I actually go out in the streets. I'm not one of the people
that's
just sit in an office somewhere. And so that's just how it is. So I had to actually walk away from that. But I was still willing to work with the organization and even help them to train people and the whole nine. I mean, so it's called Safe Streets, but it's from under Ceasefire. So I know exactly what you're talking about, and the whole premise, the principle, I mean, the whole nine. So, but just to say that, you know, I see them with being encouraging, though, to me, because I see them that if you know your name and who you are, you know, saying you have a chance. A lot of our young men, they don't have any idea, and they're like the movie Clueless about exactly who they are. But I'm a firm believer, if we can get some of these soldiers to turn around and really teach them really what this real fight is about, and it doesn't include us killing each other like that, and I really feel that would really, you know, change our communities, because we need to start protecting them and not victimizing them.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I do believe that, too. And I really think that I really want to jump on the bandwagon with Brother Malik on this, for us to do a world conference in Africa. And we have to do it not only with the economics, we got to also go with gang violence as well. We got to go the whole nine yards everywhere. And I'm going to see if we can get members from Ceasefire to come to Africa with Malik Fulikabaz and the New Black Panther Party as well. I'm willing to, and I'm ready to make that move.
Okay, sister, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Black power, gentlemen, and I'm so happy y'all back. I said a prayer for you and for a safe return home to your second home.
Black power.
Black power.
Appreciate it. All right. That's it, gentlemen, for the questions tonight. And I think that I think the chairman dropped off faster there, so we're gonna close out here, sir.
Okay, brother.
And I appreciate your comments. Yeah, appreciate you too. Appreciate you coming on and rolling with us and doing what you do. You gotta join us for this Wednesday, though. We're gonna have
okay.
Comrades from Azania on on Wednesday.
Okay.
At 8. Maybe we can get our sister Pinky on, too.
Oh, okay. That would be great. If we get Pinky going on, we got something going.
Yeah, that'd be tight. So family, join us this Wednesday at 8 o'clock, 8 Eastern, as we will do our best to get our brothers and sisters from Azania, from the Pan-African Congress of Azania on, maybe some ZANU PF. If we're able, chapters of Zimbabwe, New Black Panther Party, and chapters of Johannesburg, New Black Panther Party as well. And if you keep hearing us say ZANU-PF, just for your information, that represents the Zimbabwe African National Union Patriotic Front. Zimbabwe African National Union Patriotic Front, under the leadership of the great and venerable Robert Mugabe, President Robert Mugabe. And so we'll leave you, family, with some of the songs, as they say, some of the songs of Zion that we learned there in Azania. And as you heard Pastor Ted here talk about, we was not judged because we didn't know the words. You know, the white man, of course, stole our language and our culture, but they didn't judge us. And so we're thankful. So we will leave you with some of the songs that they sung, the liberation songs that they sung, so that you can feel the same spirit. And then we encourage you to join us again this Wednesday for another broadcast as we take you further into our African mission and tie it all together into what it has to do with you and me here in the United Snakes. We mean States of America. Black power for black people, all power to the people. And remember, if black people are not free, nobody's free. Black power.
Not having problems.